The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the answer to all our questions in life. And there are many questions that we often ask that we do not have the answer to, but we find the answer in Jesus Christ. One of the questions that is asked is, why do we have so much suffering in this world? Why does not God get rid of this virus? Questions like these often frustrate many people and cause them to give up hope in this life. And one of the greatest questions that is asked in the scriptures was asked by a man who was suffering greatly. His name is Job. In Job chapter 14 and verse 14, he asked that question. If a man dies, will he live again? If a person dies, if a man dies, if a woman dies, if a boy dies, if a girl dies, will they live again? And Job asked a question because he was facing death. He was sickened, and he almost gave up hope. But Job found an answer to the question in chapter 19 of his book, Job chapter 19. Job received a glimpse of hope to his answer. And he says that he knows that his Redeemer lives. Job chapter 19, verse 25. And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. And even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes shall see, and not another. My heart faints within me. So Job asks this question, if a man dies, will he live again? And Job says that he knows that he will see his Redeemer. Now Job lived long before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. But Job was given, I believe, this glimpse of life after death from God. He received this promise that death is not the end. But Job did not know at this particular point in history how this life will continue after death. But he knew that there was a Redeemer, one who would come, and Job himself, even after he dies, he will see his Redeemer. And many centuries after Job asked this question, God sent his Son into our world, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and he died. We remember his death a few days ago on Good Friday. And today we are celebrating his glorious resurrection. So I would like to share with you five things about the resurrection of Christ and what it means for us. But before I do that, I want us to understand what resurrection really is. And to do that, I want to say that resurrection is not reincarnation. Resurrection is not coming back to life in another form, like a bird or another animal or another person. It is not reincarnation. And resurrection is not simply coming back to life. It is not simply someone coming back from the grave and living again. Resurrection is a different kind of life. It is eternal life. It is life that is given for a different age, for a different realm. Resurrection life is God's life in us. And this life in us is possessed by no one who is born into this world. We were born separated from God, and then we die. We die. But the resurrection is the answer to death. Death is the great enemy of mankind. God never intended for death to be part of his creation. Death is not normal. It is abnormal. It is the greatest fear that has been placed upon human beings. In fact, that's what people are fearful of today and always. Yes, we are fearful that we would catch this virus and ultimately we would die. It is ultimately the fear of death. But Jesus Christ came and he conquered death. And we'll learn about this morning. So let me tell you five things about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means for us. First of all, the resurrection is the removal of the power of death. Resurrection is the removal of the power of death. Death is very powerful. Even in the 21st century, in this age of technology, great advancement has been made in science and technology, and mankind has become very intelligent. They are able to invent great things. But the one thing that human beings are not able to conquer is death. It is the greatest mystery of life. It is the greatest power in life. No one has yet been able to come up with a remedy for death until the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He was crucified on the cross. He died. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose again victoriously. The prophet Hosea prophesied many years ago. And he also received, I believe, from the Lord, a glimpse of the defeat of death. And so in Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14, the prophet triumphantly says, "O death, where are your thorns? O Sheol, where is your sting?" So the prophet Hosea saw many years ago that the sting of death will be removed. And so the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he picked up on what Hosea says, and he sings this glorious song of victory over death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 50, the Apostle Paul says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written." And he quotes Hosea, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He is the one who has conquered the power of death. He is the one who has reigned victorious over death. And so resurrection reminds us that the power of death has been removed. Secondly, the resurrection is a new beginning. It is a new creation. It is a new beginning of life. You see, when Adam was created, he was the beginning of the whole creation. And Adam sinned and plunged all of creation into this demise of death and sickness and viruses and all sorts of chaos. He plunged the world into chaos, just as this virus has caused chaos in this world. And we all shut up in our houses, isolated. We're not able to go into the cities and enjoy the sounds and shop and into the malls. It seems as if there is a kind of death in our very experience. And we are longing to be relieved from this period of isolation. And when we are relieved from this isolation, when this virus is dismissed, and we pray that it will happen very soon, it will be like a new beginning. Life will not be the same. There will be some changes. Some things will continue, but some things will be changed. But life will be different. It will be like a new beginning. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the beginning of a new creation. A new creation. The Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things have become new. So in Jesus Christ, a new creation has begun. And this new creation includes all those who have come to faith in Christ Jesus, all those who have been renewed by faith in him. And so the resurrection is a new beginning. Thirdly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the restoration of what God created us for and what Adam has lost. Yes, the resurrection is the restoration of what we lost in Adam. So the question is, what did we lose when Adam sinned against God? Well, we lost many things. We lost a joy. We lost eternal life. We lost everything that God wanted us to have. But ultimately, what we really lost when Adam sinned against God was the very presence of God. What we lost when Adam sinned against God was the hope of living eternally with God. And so the resurrection restores to us that which we have lost in Christ. And our new bodies will be restored. This body that we have presently is subject to sickness, illness, and ultimately death. But the resurrection, praise God, will restore for us a glorious, imperishable body, never to be subject to sin and death and sadness and sorrows and all of the things that bother us in this world, all of the things that cause us to become hopeless. Our bodies will be restored. Praise God, it shall be glorious. You know, in this present time, there are so many deaths. Over 500, half a million have died so far due to the coronavirus. Death is all over the place. Our bodies are not able to sustain and endure this great enemy. But when we receive this glorious body at the resurrection, there will be no more viruses to destroy this body. Thank God the resurrection will restore our bodies. The resurrection will also restore our community. It will unite us with our loved ones in heaven. We shall be together. Death takes away our families, our friends, our hopes and dreams away from us. But at the resurrection, we shall be restored. There will be a community of God's people, all those who have come to faith in Christ and die with him. At the resurrection, we shall be reunited as a family of God, and there shall be an eternal community of saints together with the angels, worshiping God forever and ever. Number four, the resurrection is a reminder that our hope is not in this life. The resurrection reminds us that our hope is not in this life. And I want to emphasize this because there are many people today who put their hope in the things in this life. The resurrection is a powerful reminder that our blessedness is not in this life. And I want to use our present circumstances to illustrate what I'm talking about here. You think of the malls where people often go to shop and have fun. You think of the parties, the bars, the discos. Oh, I give away myself here. Disco, I guess it's from the 70s. And all of the pleasures of this life have been taken away from us. And that's a reminder. It illustrates to us that it doesn't matter how good life is in this world, one of these days, it will all be taken away. Why? Because our blessedness, our hopes, our dreams, our joys cannot never be found in this life, no matter how good it may be. Think about it. Think of the Garden of Eden as another illustration of this point. You recall God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And everything there was perfect. They had all that they needed, all that was sufficient to satisfy them in this life. But you recall there was one thing that was present, temptation to sin. And after they sinned against God, God cast them out from the garden. Why? Because even the Garden of Eden, with all of its perfection and all of the blessedness that God gave to them, there was still the possibility of sin, to remind them and to remind us that no matter how good life is in this world, it is not the place of blessedness. We must leave this world someday. And the ultimate place of blessedness is the very presence of God. Not any place in this life. Our hope and dreams are not to be found anywhere on this earth. Whether it is in a tropical beach in the Caribbean, whether it is in a beautiful city in Europe, or anywhere else, our hopes and dreams are not to be found in this life, because one of these days it will be taken away, and ultimately our hope and our joy are found in the presence of God, being with him, because that is the reason why he created us. And in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our resurrection, that's a reminder that one of these days we have to leave this place. And the Bible says that there will be two resurrections. There will be the resurrection of life for those who are in Christ, for Christians, and there will be the resurrection of unbelievers. And they will not live in the presence of God, but they will live apart from him. But my friends, you don't have to. continue to trust in things in this life. You don't have to continue to trust and put your hope in this life. Let the resurrection of Christ remind you and I that our hope, our dreams, our blessedness are not found in this life. Number five, the resurrection is a reality based in Jesus. The resurrection is truth. There are many people who doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are many people who say that Jesus Christ did not really die. That he did not really die. He was just experiencing some swoon. He was not dead. But the Bible says that yes, he was dead. Christ died indeed. And then he was raised from the grave. He was raised from death. And so the resurrection is an event that is found in a person. The reality is in Jesus Christ. You recall Jesus Christ when he was standing at the grave of Lazarus with Mary and Martha and all of Lazarus' family, and they were very sorrowful that their brother had died. And they said that if Jesus was there, then Lazarus would not have died. And then Jesus said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. And that is true. The resurrection is found in a person, and the person is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who came back from the grave. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die, Jesus says. Shall never die. What a wonderful promise. Why would anyone refuse this great promise that our Savior has offered to us? I am the resurrection and the life, he says. He that believeth in me shall never die. What a great promise we have from our Savior. I urge you to come to him. That's what he says, John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then Jesus says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And so the resurrection is a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I urge you to come to him, to trust in him, to believe in him, to put your faith in him. And you will never, never be disappointed. That's what we are celebrating here today. We are celebrating the coming of the Son of God out of death. We are celebrating the conquering and the victory of the Son of God over death through his resurrection. And so let me just repeat the five things I mentioned to you. First of all, resurrection is the removal of the power of death. Secondly, resurrection is a new beginning, a new creation. Thirdly, resurrection is the restoration of what God created for us. Number four, the resurrection is a reminder that our hope is not in this life. And fifthly, resurrection is a reality based in Jesus Christ. And that is true. But I want to end by looking at a passage of scripture in Ezekiel chapter 37, because there is a question that has been asked also in this passage. And in Ezekiel chapter 37, the prophet Ezekiel was among the exiles. And as he was in exile, he received a vision of the valley of dead dry bones, the people of Israel. And the question was asked, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And the Lord said to him, you know. And the Lord said to him, prophesy over these bones. And then Ezekiel went and he prophesied over these bones, and then the bones came together, and then there was life in that bone, in those bones. And that was a picture of the people of Israel in exile. And while they were in exile, that was a picture of death. And then in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 14, it says, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. So Israel experienced exile and return is a type of death and resurrection. The Spirit of God was placed within them. I pray this morning that God will place His Spirit. He will give you, He will give those who are dead His Spirit. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins, those who have not come to faith in Jesus Christ, so that on the last day you shall be resurrected to new life in God's presence. So may the Lord bless you as you continue to celebrate this Easter season and contemplate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks for such a wonderful Savior who came back to life, to new life, to life of the age to come, resurrection life. We thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you that our Lord and Savior has restored what we have lost in Adam. We thank you that our Lord and Savior has conquered death. We thank you that through his resurrection, there is a new beginning. We thank you that through his resurrection, that we are reminded that our hope is not in this life. And we thank you that he himself is our resurrection and our life. So Lord, I pray that you will comfort your people. Comfort us. Comfort everyone who hears my voice this morning. May they never forget the promises that you have given to us in your word. Thank you, Father. We bless you and we praise you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen.